Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by StrikeForceEnergy.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Open it up with the ham horn.
Had to do it.
You had to do it with
Hi, Sean O'Connell.
Today.
Hi, Sean O'Connell.
You see, at Drinking Bros, we're experts at a lot of different things, and one thing is we're expert friend makers, so we brought an expert fighter to come in and talk with us about what happened last night.
They already knew you were on the last episode, so it's not that fucking special.
I'm like a rash.
It's kind of special.
Hard to get rid of.
True.
Once you've exposed yourself to me, it's going to take a while.
I've always noticed rashes are easiest to get rid of with a hot blade.
It was the craziest thing. So I'm pulling up to the office, Ross, and I texted Sean. I was like, hey, man, we're doing an episode at 12. I know it's short notice. When I text him, he was eating a burrito in the parking lot, and he's like,
weird.
I happen to be by the office.
let me see if I can fit it into my skull cap.
I'm just eating a burrito in your parking lot.
Yeah. I'm squatting on the property.
Was that a gas station burrito? It looked delicious.
Was it?
The Bomb? The Bomb burrito?
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Well, it's nice. It cleans out the whole system. I'm definitely going to have diarrhea later.
When all 100%. The hippie girls do the system flushes, what I do. I get the gas station burrito.
Dude, I love gas station egg salad. That's my favorite.
Or gas station sushi.
Yeah.
Where the tuna on the California roll's gone kind of gray.
That's if you're going full colonic, where it's like, hey.
Somebody on Instagram sent me a photo of them in Oklahoma at a Cinex gas station, and on the sign it said, we have the best clams, or like the
in Oklahoma. It's a landlocked state for all of you.
At a Cinex gas station, like sale on clams.
If you're in Oklahoma and you're going anywhere besides a Quick Trip, you're in the wrong spot.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you might as well eat those clams in a fucking hospital, because that's where you're gonna end up.
Dude, there's nothing. I honestly don't think there's nothing worse than canned oysters.
I can think of some shit worse, but that's pretty bad.
But in retrospect of a grocery store, something that you can buy, like the most like rank shit.
No, like have you ever had a mayonnaise anchovy sandwich? I love those.
Yeah, but no. You're out of category.
They're mayonnaise stuffed anchovies.
Yeah.
So when you bite it in, it's like a little pimple that just pops.
Those are good. Those are good on Ritz crackers. My favorite is chopped onion mayonnaise and corn nuts. I love that.
Chopped onion, mayonnaise.
What kind of corn nuts?
You dice an onion. Oh, the Cool Ranch.
Always Cool Ranch.
Dice an onion.
Yeah.
3 packs of Cool Ranch corn nuts in a Ziploc bag and about half a jar of mayonnaise and mix it up. Yeah,
so
that's great. You just palm it.
The breath after something like that, because the corn nuts by themselves ruin your breath for like a week, and then you add the onions.
Yeah,
that's just a brave new world onion,
diced red onion.
That's like you're trying to make yourself repulsive.
Little garlic in there.
Hey Ross, I totally have to tell you a story that happened to me a week and a half ago that I didn't tell on the podcast, but it's a good one.
Fire away.
Before we get into the fights and shit. So
yeah,
here
the
I am.
And all, yeah, go ahead.
So oh, I'm yeah. at Black Rifle Coffee. You know, it was like till 5 or 6. I had to go do some edits, so I went over to my the business house that we have to meet up with Eli, and I'm fucking working on this edit.
Unicorn Ranch
until about 10 p.m. I always carry my Glock on me, of course. Well, I'm sitting there and I have my bag that I travel with, and I was getting into my Uber because I had a few drinks to drive, get home. And I'm sitting there like, I don't want to really appendix carry it now. I'll just put my gun in my bag. It's between my legs. We'll be good to go. Yada, yada. 4 days later, I'm flying to go see my wife's family in Indiana. We're going through TSA, you know, not thinking about fucking anything. And all of a sudden, like, the line starts getting like a little like pinged. I'm like, wait, what the fuck is that? Where's my bag?
TSA getting all agitated.
Yeah, dude, you could see like the spidey senses. They're all freaking out, wide-eyed. And then Noelle's like, oh my God, is that a gun? And I'm like, that's not a fucking gun. I'm not that fucking stupid. Oh, fuck. Because I could tell it had my...
No
it was a
way.
A loaded Glock 19 with 16 rounds, one in the pipe, and loaded back up the magazine with a spare magazine fully loaded, and it comes through. And yeah, I took a loaded firearm in my bag through TSA, so they did like, I guess they have to do like a full investigation on me and TSA. The police confiscated it, and we go through this whole process of freaking all the investigation. The one cop, Jared, was the guy that
did our plane investigation.
Yeah, the plane when we helped out the stewardess from getting accosted that one day when we told out in Drinking Bros. The same cop, and then the other cop was a huge Black Rifle fan. So as I'm finishing up the paperwork, he's like, "Hey man, can I get a selfie?" And I was like, "Motherfucker, rip up the paperwork then! Like I'm an idiot. Mail that shit home." But yeah, I took a fucking pistol through. I was the 64th pistol this year through the Salt Lake City Airport.
So, no way. So what happens for the audience at home at the end of all of this? Do you get fined?
Fortunately, I think TSA, since it's federal, it's nationally, it's all the same. But they said up until a year ago, they arrest every single person and take you to jail.
Wow.
So I got fortunate on that because I've never been arrested. But the TSA.
That's
and,
just a waste of money.
Like, it's stupid.
That is a waste of taxpayer dollars right there.
The first thing he goes, like, do you have ID? I whip out my fucking driver's license, my CHL, so my handgun license. That's
boom. There it is.
Reciprocity
right
in Utah. Like, I'm like, dude, we should be good.
I'm not trying to fucking hurt anyone.
Yeah. But the cops were actually really fucking cool. But apparently they're like, you'll find out in three weeks in the mail if you're getting fined. I can be fined up to $10,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and I guess you have to, like, I wrote the whole thing about why it's there, but I'm like, it's a legal firearm, I'm a fucking handgun license carrier, like, everything's, like, I couldn't be more legal, so I hope it goes well.
If you as an individual, as experienced as you are with firearms, end up getting fined, like, everyone is screwed.
I just like how one of the cops immediately pulled out, I was like, oh, it's cool, a Navy SEAL once brought a 1911 through. I'm like, oh, there's the SEAL card.
Navy SEAL.
Nah, if any of the cops listen to the show, thank you guys so much. They were fucking awesome, and they weren't in my face at all. They were like, you're an idiot, and I was like, I sure am, and they were amazing. So thanks, guys.
So I got
guys.
Two things for you guys real quick.
All right. That's 8 guns a month, by the way.
Ross and Matt, check your text. We just got the first revision of the new logo back. So
looks fucking awesome.
You like it? You want to keep that?
I just texted you back. I love it.
Okay.
Love that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
perfect.
Sweet.
Done and done. We're done with that. Number two, Ross, you're going to have a second conference call with our third female for the 200th episode.
Okay.
I spoke to her today. She passed her phone number. She has a little issue. She really wants to do it, but she broke her hip. So she's hoping she'll be healed.
Is this real?
Yes.
Is this real?
Yes. Russ, you have to record this conversation,
Sean
too.
Doesn't know about episode 200.
You have to record this conversation.
You're getting the Golden Girls on episode 200 or something?
No, so episode 100, we had two strangers fuck in front of us, and we narrated it like a UFC fight. Yeah. We're like, well, it seems he's putting his dick. Oh, yep, there's an orgasm. She has achieved an orgasm. We fucking narrate it. And for 200, we are going to...
We're going to do either a threesome or a couples are going to swing in front of us. But either, you know, if she can
do you
want
to be in on that
guy,
with us? Come on, Sean.
I'm out.
Come on, Sean.
That's a hard pass for me. That's wild.
But, you know, Ross had to have the conference call the other day with the couple. you know, to a
I like how it's a conference call. I know, as if it's a so conference official. Call.
I mean, now we're getting into so many people involved.
Are there like, attorneys
you
involved?
You gotta do a call-in.
That's like, how I knew I was gonna marry Noelle, was the second time we'd hung out in person. We'd talked for a long time. Second time we'd hung out in person was episode 100. And I was like, hey, so I do this podcast thing. And so you see that girl and that dude, they're gonna fuck upstairs. And I have to watch and narrate it. And she's just like, oh, okay. I was like, are you like jealous? Like, she's like, it's not like you're going to fucking jump in on it. And I was like, that is true. And she's like, I'll be downstairs. Have fun, weirdos. And I was like, that's awesome. Wow. She didn't care. That's true. I came downstairs and they had ordered like Thai food or California Pizza Kitchen. Yeah. She's like, how was it? I was like, not as good as I thought.
Honestly, sex. It was 2.5 hours of sex.
Yeah. That's
I watched.
It's a vastly different lot of food how I knew that. I love my wife's story than most people. You know what I mean?
She was a rock. Are you're fucking disgusting, or you're gonna like, she goes like, that was the moment she's like, this dude is fucking crazy. Oh, but
I'm gonna tell that story. Right.
I like him anyway. Like him.
We ate a lot of food after that. We had a lot of Chinese food. So much food. CPK
it was CPK. Remember?
Fucking Evan was just cooking up a storm with some coffee,
dude.
Yeah,
that was a good time. That Airbnb was tarnished by us, but it was a good time.
It was a great time. I loved it.
Can you imagine? It. Like, you find out your fucking Airbnb was used on a podcast where strangers were fucking.
Really, yeah, I mean, basically a porn shoot.
It was messy.
Honestly, Ross, you have to record this conversation with this girl because it's going to be so funny.
I will.
Because, she really wants to do it, but she's hurt, and she thinks she'll be
well, not just hurt, but broke her hip. Old lady injury.
How do you fuck after getting, how do you get fucked after breaking your hip?
Well, I mean, I just was like, so does that like just leave doggy style out? I imagine that just kind of like,
I mean, we could get like a liberator and just prop her up. So it's just like, I mean, she's just like a doggy.
Make sure she's comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could like,
we'll get her some iced tea,
morphine her a little bit, make her a little.
No, we'll get some icy hot on her tush. You know,
Drinking Bros is a lot different than Ballers and Brawlers.
She's got a problem. She's got a broken.
That's why
hip.
You're here though. No competing space.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Space.
Yeah. You talk about like cool shit that matters, and we just talk about dicks, trannies, and people fucking in front of us.
Yeah,
I mean, but guess what? I would never change the show.
500 is that like an orgy?
Oh God!
Like,
it's like an Eyes Wide Shut type deal where everybody comes in their favorite superhero mask, and then
the
you know.
Illuminati are involved.
No, it's like all of us have to come with our significant other and spin a wheel, and whoever it lands on, that's the couple that has to bang in front of the other guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, if there's any swat, never.
It's just whoever gets chosen. It's like sex roulette.
Nothing inside of me wants to watch you bang, Jared. Like, not one single.
You said you wanted to see that.
Maybe my favorite thing about Matt Best Official is how sexually liberated he is in every way until someone even hints at like wanting to touch his wife's butt, and then he immediately becomes like 1950s. This is how we do it.
It's like the RoboCop 2 machine.
I don't fucking play, man. I don't fucking share.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because that takes you down a rabbit hole of, you know, a lifetime of.
I'm like, I am old school like that, where it's like I don't look at her like my property, but like as a fucking man in the relationship, I'm a little old school. It's like I'm her protector, and I don't want fucking people touching her. Like. Not even like a dude, a massage therapist, get fucked. I'm weird like that. Like, you can have whatever. You can have a butch chick that wants to fucking eat your pussy. That's fine. What the fuck are you doing?
It's
just
Tumblr. No, it's Tumblr.
He's just showing me porn.
I mean, it just came up.
Okay.
That
I bet that's how you have
way.
Sex. It's just getting rode like that, and then you're just laying there like with a fucking cheeseburger.
Sipping a big sip.
Oh, God.
Ross, stop. It's not funny.
I bet after like 1 minute of sex, you're like McGregor in the bottom of the 10th. You know, you're just fucking tired,
just
sloppy.
Out of breath. Just
the referee stepping in to stop it. You're like, no, that's just fatigue. I'm not finished. It's just fatigue.
It's just fatigue. Jared, you came all over the floor. It's fatigue.
It's fatigue. I think it was close. I think it was better than you thought it was.
It's you know, it's more Scottish.
It doesn't really sound like Conor McGregor because he doesn't have the Lucky Charms Irish accent.
We'll get into the McGregor fight. Let's get into the Spancers first, and then I'm gonna let you run
with these. I'm gonna go get another beer, Ross, but I need you to say Strikeforce so I can get some fucking, you know, some amp going on.
I will, dude. By the way, so hungover that the only way out of this hangover is drinking. Like, that's it.
I wore a giant hoodie to the gym before I came here.
Hungover at
sweat
all.
Out, and then I'm drinking.
Disappointed.
Again.
I didn't drink that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, that's the only way you can do it. All right, let's get to the first sponsor, StrikeforceEnergy.com. Boy,
that's what I wanted, Sean.
There is nothing in God's green earth like a goddamn little tasty tiny little tin pouch of energy. Look, kids, kick the can. You don't need the can anymore. It's over with, and it's about to be official for life because they're going on sale in 7-Eleven inside starting in Virginia Beach, and then if they do well there, they're going nationwide. So grab some StrikeForceEnergy.com. Get on the train before it gets to be the fucking popular thing to do. Go to their websites. Use the promo code Drinkin' Bros for 20% off. They ship everywhere in the entire world, and that shit literally goes in everything. Waters, beers, Kool-Aids, liqueurs, you name it. They get a subscription.
Or semen. You can mix with semen, Jared.
Yeah, you
really
can mix it with semen.
Gross.
You can mix it with semen.
Yeah. It's a strike cum. Don't forget that.
You didn't have to do that.
Gross.
I had to. He almost vomits when you talk about cum, so.
We love them. We love Strikeforce. Been drinking, pounding it all morning. I was drinking it last night for that fight. I was having some Stradkas, actually. Strikeforce and vodka. Real good combo. With that LaCroix, it doesn't get any better than that. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code DRINKINBROS, 20% off. They ship everywhere in the entire world, and they get a 750 milliliter bottle that goes boom, boom. You can squirt that and fucking be on your day. Get the subscription of the month club, though. Just do it and get it over with. Next up.
The fact that people don't have subscriptions on everything is mind-boggling
crazy.
To me. Because
crazy,
I'm fucking lazy as far as, like, I gotta go to the store. Like, I want my shit. Especially when it's caffeine.
Yeah.
Exactly. Next up, we got ghostbed.com. Oh boy. There's going to be three people on a ghost bed on the 200th, maybe four, who knows.
I mean, the more the merrier. Those ghost beds are comfy, and I guarantee they can hold four people fucking.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you know what they say, Matt, you sleep so good it's scary.
I heard that's the tagline, you know? God, I love it.
If they don't take that line and run with it, they're crazy.
I know.
But look, we all have ghost beds. No lie, it's the fucking best mattress on the goddamn planet. It ships right to your house. You don't have to do shit. Just lay it out once you pull it out of the box. It's great. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkinbros or use the promo code drinkinbros. You get $50 off a bed and you get three free pillows. When you order, and the pillows are the best.
Dude, those fucking pillows, I went to Costco because I love Costco, and they have similar pillows, but they're just not the same.
No,
like, it doesn't have
same.
That.
Yeah.
It ain't the same. It's fucked up.
So go to ghostbed.com, use the promo code DRINKINBROS. Get on it. Get your shit. Next up, we got warfightertobacco.com. Warfighter
smoke
Tobacco.
Smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, smoke them if you got them. If you don't got them, go get them and smoke them. They're made with real Cuban seeds, hand-rolled from the Dominican Republic and shipped over to the United States for your fucking mouth pleasure. They're 100% combat veteran-owned. Rocco is one of the co-owners. Support them. And also, if there's a local cigar store near you and you want Warfighter Tobacco cigars in your store, just talk to the owner and then email Scott Jansen and the boys over at Warfighter Tobacco, and they will get you hooked up. They're going to try to go global. They're going to try to get into every single store they can. So hit up your local cigar stores. In the meantime, you can buy them on warfightertobacco.com. Use the promo code DRINKINBROS for 10% off. And their cigars are getting really, really fucking good. I mean, those guys have stepped up their game beyond. And their apparel and humidors is pretty rad, too. Next, we got grenadesoap.com. A lot of people.
I just want the fucking taint scrubber. I want the taint scrubber.
I know. A lot of people are sending in pictures of the grenade soap. The soap on the rope, grenade soap. It's made with real gunpowder. That's why it smells so goddamn good. They got tactical.
I'm sure there's other things in there that make it smell good.
That's
you know,
it. But it's just the gunpowder, I guess. They took half her leprechaun toe, like a baby toe off of a leprechaun. And
dude, leprechaun toes are so multi-purposed. I know. I love those things.
Yeah. No, not enough people use them.
They feel really good if you close pin them to your dick when you wear tight underwear.
So true.
Oddly specific.
Well, I mean, like, when it rubs on it, like, it feels good.
It feels good. Yeah. Leprechaun dicks are fucking dope.
No,
yeah.
Leprechaun toes on your dick.
No, I know, but I call it a leprechaun dick because it becomes one with your penis. Yeah,
and it grows plants.
Yeah.
GrenadeSoap.com is OD green and combat clean. Go to GrenadeSoap.com. Use the promo code DrinkinBros. You get 20% off. They got some tactical toothbrushes and some dop kits and shit. They're fucking rad, man. Last but not least, we got Black Rifle Coffee. Matthew, why don't you tell us about it?
Yummy!
Yeah! I get excited.
Oh, yeah!
I get excited. No, everybody, I think, knows at this point about Black Rifle Coffee. It is a company that we owned, you know, three out of the four, you know, but Ross is pretty much, his penis is Black Rifle, so he's a part of it. But
yeah,
now we've been amping up I really just want to promote the subscription stuff because it's fucking awesome, man. I pay for my own subscription, kind of the QC.
Same here,
but
same here, by the way.
It is the greatest shit you guys will ever see, and we offer all these exclusive offers for other vendors, so essentially the savings that you get from all these fucking awesome other stores that we mail out weekly, you pretty much get your coffee for free if you look at your discount. So, and you get free shipping on your orders from the coffee club. So it is a win-win for you, and it's fucking awesome. So check it out. Drinking Bros, 20% off.
And the apparel, your guys' shirts are fucking dope.
Dude, I've been on Fleek. I'm wearing a brand new one right now that will be out next week once I get them to go to print.
Damn. And it'll be in a video that will be coming out here shortly.
Yes, we did film a video yesterday, Ross.
Yes.
What'd you guys shoot?
You know, we're just trolling the internet. I'll probably put it up tomorrow morning if I can get the sound design edited tonight, if I'm motivated. So we did, we don't know, what do you want to call it, Jared? It's essentially like if criminals followed gun laws. And
I think
so,
law-abiding criminal, that's what you should call
law-abiding it. Law-abiding criminal. Jared and some other people like break into my house and rob me, and I'm just kind of articulating why they can't fucking rob and kill me because all their firearms are illegal because we're in California. You know, liberal nonsense.
Fuck yeah. Let's get in. Can we dive into that McGregor fight? Man,
let's do it.
God damn it.
Are we gonna take as long as it took for us to just watch it?
Jesus.
God, we were like FaceTiming with people that were at the fight. Like,
can we get into this? Because Matt,
did your UFC app crash? Because ours did.
I didn't use the UFC app. I bought it off of Dish. I get Dish Network, but a lot of people had problems with it last night. For those of you who have never been to Matt's house, he's got a 120-inch screen projector in his basement. He's got the ultimate man cave. His bathroom has got a urinal.
4K,
like
4K, 128.
His bathroom downstairs has a urinal and a toilet. I mean, he's got a fucking full
and a
bar
bidet.
Down there.
No bidet.
There's a bidet. Don't let him tell you.
We bought shrimp cocktail from Costco. Yesterday was high fucking class.
It was fucking high class.
So, anyways,
thanks for the invite, by the way. Appreciate that.
You're always invited.
Matt's built up this man cave to be like the ultimate for a dude. Last night was the ultimate fight for a dude. However,
yes, it was.
When I saw a picture of it, it appeared as if you guys were watching the fight on a phone screen, like an iPhone 7 screen.
Dude, so the fucking UFC app crashed halfway through the co-main event or whatever you want to call it. It was Mayweather's fighter, the title fucking guy.
Oh, that shitbag who couldn't make weight.
Cookie Monster.
Yeah, the Cookie Monster. The
Gervonta Davis.
Yeah. So like halfway through, it just cuts off, and then it got Richard Ryan over there Googling it, and it's like how many people were getting ready to watch the fight crash the app.
Australia, it was crashed.
Everywhere. Yeah. But they were talking about delaying the fight, but then like Rocco's FaceTiming with his kids who are watching on Dish, and then we're FaceTiming people at the event and trying to get them just to like put it on the screen. So we casted an iPhone FaceTime to the fucking TV, and it was like, I don't know, a 30-inch TV and this 120-inch fucking screen. Like, whatever. It worked. And then, like, right when round one started of the McGregor fight, it cut on. So we got lucky.
Wow. That's
first world problems right there. My 120-inch fucking screen didn't work. Oh, my God.
Exactly. By the way, Matt, they did say after the fight that they did delay it by 15 minutes to try to get everything up and running. Yeah.
Servers crashed in California and Florida, and those are obviously huge population bases, and they were worried about dissatisfied customers.
Yeah,
and
can
refunds.
You imagine a refund fucking $100 million? Oh, fuck.
That, you know, that happened to me about 10 years ago. I forget which fight it was. I was watching it on pay-per-view, and there was, like, was terrible storms throughout, like, all the fucking South, and knocked out all the shit, and they had to give us refunds, and I was like, man, how much money did they fucking lose off of that thing?
Yeah, fuck that.
So what did those guys end up making?
We don't know yet.
The numbers haven't come out. It was dependent on the pay-per-view. Connor definitely 80 million, potential 100 plus based off of how many people bought the fight.
Yeah, they said in the end he's looking at around 100 to 120. Mayweather's looking at about 300 to 330.
The guarantee for both of them, the absolute guarantee if none of us had bought this fight, was 100 for Mayweather and 30 for McGregor, which is still obviously way more than he's ever made for a fight. So, massive win for both men. But, yeah, the Ross just threw the more realistic numbers at you.
I mean, does McGregor even want to do this anymore?
It sounded like he did. He's going to fight at Christmas back in the UFC. That's what I heard.
Look, I think that he wants to go back and finish a trilogy with Nate Diaz and, you know, he's not going to do it for $10 million even. Yeah. He'd be stupid to do so. If the UFC is not forced to pay him at least $20 million for a fight, then he probably won't go back. You know, you've got Canelo Triple G coming up September 16th. If one of those guys or both of those guys looked at the numbers, the pay-per-view numbers that came out of Conor McGregor's presence on this card against Floyd Mayweather, and they decide that, you know, I want a relatively easy fight from a boxing perspective for $100 million. One of those guys might call him out, and he'd obviously take that bout.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because, like,
you
in
think
his post...
he could beat somebody else?
Like, no.
No.
No?
No.
I don't think he could beat
Canelo
or Triple G.
It seems they just know the game. Like, looking at how Floyd, and knowing nothing about this shit, Floyd knew how to fuck with him.
Look,
like, based on exactly what boxing does, you know, turning his back to him, getting Connor to constantly, you know,
which, by the way, that was poorly officiated. I don't care what anybody
says. It was
terrible.
No,
guy was awful. He was,
I'm
like
not a huge
fucking
boxer, but how come when he wrapped at the back, they immediately broke and then put him right in the center of the ring? Is that standard practice?
You want to get right back to the action and things like that, but Connor's corner needed to tell him, when Floyd turns his back to you,
stop hitting him.
Don't grab him.
Yeah. Just fucking beat his fucking kidneys.
Punch him on the side of the head.
Yeah.
Because there's no rule in boxing against punching somebody in the ear, punching somebody in the jaw, things like that, right? The referee was stepping in because Connor was effectively clinching from behind, like he was going to pick him up and drop him again, and he was hitting him with the little, like, tiny rabbit punches and things like that. If Connor just allowed Floyd to turn, and that was a strategic thing from the Mayweather camp, obviously. They knew that the referee was going to be extra diligent on breaking up tie-ups, right? Because you saw in the pre-fight, the final rules, he was only talking to Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
He was like, don't grab him. Don't punch him on the back of the head. He didn't say anything to Floyd Mayweather, but the Mayweather camp knew that Conor would end up grabbing on and doing some of those things. So Floyd, anytime he felt like it, could just turn around. That was weird, and it was poorly officiated in those scenarios. But
I will say, like, I was impressed with Conor's performance. I thought that I didn't think he would do that well throughout the rounds. And granted, I know Mayweather was just like, hey, let's fucking tire this guy out. And then I was impressed with Mayweather because that dude, like, when it came to, like, 6-7, he was just walking forward and swinging, which he never fucking does.
Yeah,
it was super, as a fan, super entertaining.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
Conor
took
watch.
The fight to him the beginning of every round up through, like, 8. Like, as soon as that round began, boom, he was right in his face. He was pushing him against the ropes. Like, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a deceptive, and maybe this is part of what, you know, everybody decided. Connor's camp, Floyd's camp, maybe complicit together. We all wanted to see this fight be a fight.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And Floyd, fully aware of that, and true to his strategic history in fights, he threw 6 punches in the first round.
Yes.
He threw 6 punches in the second round.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not much more than that in the third round, right? So you had the beginning of this fight, the entire casual boxing community, boxing
like,
fan community.
Oh my God, McGregor's crushing! Right.
And all the MMA fans that had bought their first ever boxing pay-per-view,
right,
being like, yes, this is exactly what we wanted. Our guy is coming out and taking it to Floyd Mayweather. And I understand why people felt that way, because the first three rounds...
I was so fucking nervous. I was like, don't you dare get tired, motherfucker, because I know where this goes. I was like...
Was 50 Cent at the fight? Do we know that?
Yeah, he was. He was.
Probably.
He was?
Yeah, why?
You know him and fucking Floyd have a huge fucking beef, right?
Yeah, I think they were...
He's basically the... I think the one that called out Floyd for not being able to read.
Yeah. I think they patched it up eventually, but it was over a fighter, by the way. They were supposed to open up that Mayweather's got his own promotion team now. He was supposed to open that up with 50 Cent, and they were going to split the cost and go in together. Mayweather decided to do the company on his own. That's what ended up, you know, tearing down their relationship. Yeah. But that fight last night, for me, it was like watching the first Rocky for the first time. Like,
I just
wanted him to finish. And I was, as he was getting more and more tired, I was like, oh my God, you're just two rounds away. Just get out of this 10th round if you can, man.
I think that's all of us, because like, I knew... We kind of all knew he was going to lose, right? Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, like,
yeah, but every round
at the 10th round, I was like, please, if you make it to the 12th and actually fucking survive this fight, that is huge.
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 Either way, he goes out like a cult hero, I think. And I think he's bigger
than ever. Positive for him no matter what.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be, he's bigger than ever now. And everybody who watched that fight, like, he went up against the greatest fighter of this generation. Not only did you hang in there, but I had it. This is no bullshit. I had it after five. I had it 4-1 McGregor. And I had it going into after the ninth round. I had fucking Mayweather up by one round after nine. I could have been way off on that, but. That's until he got knocked out.
So you scored it the same way Conor McGregor himself scored it. Conor in the post fight said he thought it was 5-4 after the ninth, and then
that's
he obviously
what I
got stopped.
I didn't see. Yeah.
Look, I thought it was probably 6-3. I was shocked when I saw the official scorecards from the judges that had one judge had it 6-3 with Conor winning the first three rounds. The other two judges,
had
it. One round for Conor McGregor, eight for Floyd Mayweather, which means they gave Floyd the win in the second round where he threw six punches. That is corrupt and absurd.
Thank you. That's when I was looking at that judge scorecard came on. I legit looked at Rocco and I was like, this is why
boxing,
I'm not a huge boxing fan,
boxing
because
there's so
much fucking politics in it. It's not like, granted, like MMA, there's politics and you know that sometimes the judges are fucking morons, but normally it goes in favor of the best performance or whatever, whereas boxing, it's like so much fucking politics. You're like, come on, dude, that is fucking bullshit. How do you win a round throwing six punches and eating like seven uppercuts? Not that it was some great performance by McGregor, but he was pushing. It didn't make sense to me.
You know, a lot of boxing purists today, and Twitter is just a magical place because you can you can tell how much somebody knows about boxing and how much somebody cares about boxing today based only on their tweets, right? Because if their skin is in the boxing game, they're convincing everybody that this was completely lopsided and Conor McGregor didn't really belong in there and blah, blah, blah. All the MMA fans are like, it was close. It was, you know, right down to the wire. And that's not true either. The truth always lies somewhere in between. But the best thing about this fight is that we got the answer to a couple of questions like, how is Conor actually going to approach this? How is Floyd actually going to approach this? Is Floyd at age 40 ever going to change his style and be exciting again? And he found a way to be exciting and to finish this fight.
Dude,
doing it against a guy who is making his professional boxing debut, that should take away from all the hardcore boxing fanatics being like, yeah, see, Floyd's still the GOAT. Okay. He is, but you want to say that, but if you took a great NFL football player and threw him into his first NBA basketball game, no one is going to...
And he scored 65 points.
No one's going to give LeBron credit for shutting him down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, Conor McGregor did enough to look like he wasn't completely outclassed. He didn't look lost. He was not as good, but he belonged there, and that was a huge win for him personally.
I think so too. And like, if anybody thinks that like Mayweather wouldn't have put him away in the second round if the fucking opening was there, he would have. And so the fact that it took him that long to kind of tax him, get him tired, and then open up some fucking shots, to me, that's like, that's fucking dope. And granted,
it took
like,
him a while to get used to that fucking style that he has. Well, because it's so fucking...
I would have liked to have seen if Connor had the cardio to continue that slightly unorthodox, a little bit weird style for longer.
Yeah.
To see
yeah.
if it would have changed the dynamic.
Because when he was switching the stance, he would like throw that left and then switch to unorthodox and then pop. It was a fucking, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, like it was cool. And you saw everything change as he got a little bit more tired. The footwork was different. His stance was different. His hand posture was different. His head posture was different. Everything was different he got more tired.
He did about the Matt Best on the night throughout where he just put his gloves up through his head and just fucking stood there and eating shots. Like,
What one amazing thing about Connor, and, you know, again, boxing purists are not going to like any of the comments giving Connor any sort of credit because Floyd is their guy.
And by the way, they didn't. So, like, Dan Raphael from fucking ESPN, who, you know, handles all the boxing shit over there for them, he wrote some fucking snide article last night after the fight was over of how Mayweather killed him. And I was like, what? What fucking fight were you watching? Like, they hate it.
If you look at all the comments, and I was going through, like, the YouTube comments today. I normally don't, but I was just curious to see what the response of the Mayweather fans are. And they're like the boxing purists, as you say, like they are going fucking savage on the dude. Like, you told you that fucking clown didn't need to be in that ring. You're like, dude, for boxing professional career debut and stood in with Mayweather, potentially arguably one of the best boxers ever.
Yeah.
For 9 fucking rounds. Like, hey, like,
I'm sorry. What like, world is that?
We knew how this was going to end up. It's like, it's Floyd Mayweather,
and you
right?
You never do the reciprocal. Like,
oh, in God,
combat
no.
sports. Fucking Connor is going to fuck him up every time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, another interesting thing about this is the idea that the crossover was a good idea for boxing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you're a boxing purist, you have to hate this fight because the pay-per-view record for your favorite sport was just probably set. Just set by a fight with one real boxer in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it did. I think it would hurt it because now MMA fans are so mad about this whole ordeal that they'll never buy boxing.
Well, are MMA fans mad about what happened? I think MMA.
I think they're impressed, but I think they also are like him. Like, that's why this fucking sport's corrupt.
Yeah, it is. And like, look, it is. You can't deny that there's been corruption
to be
bad judging in boxing for a long time.
Watching the prelims or whatever, working up to the main event.
Yeah.
I grew up in a hardcore boxing fan family. Like, every fucking HBO fight or wherever it was back then, we would watch every single one.
Same. Yeah.
I kind of got into it, but then as MMA came along, as I got older, like, super fan. And then now watching those fights yesterday, I was like, this is why I'm not a huge boxing fan, because I can't really get behind the sport. And people that love it, that's totally fine. But I think, I don't know if it was good for boxing. I don't know. I think a lot of MMA fans that
like
me are just kind of like,
I don't think it was good for boxing at all. I don't. I really don't.
Well, I think you pissed off both sides. Like you said, your purists are like, why did you even allow this? So you're going to have a number of purists that are like,
sure,
I'm done, or I'm not fucking, you guys burn me on this one. And then you have the MMA side that's like, boxing's fucking corrupt, I'm out.
Yeah, the last part of this is the fact that Mayweather is now retired. McGregor goes on, you know, is going to be this fucking cult hero, and he's going back to MMA. Everybody and their mother's going to pay for the next Conor McGregor fight,
The brilliance for me, dude, it's like, hate him or love him, McGregor, like, he did something that never happened. He talked his way in to winning 2 belts.
Yeah.
Not to mention lost to fucking Diaz, where it's like, but then somehow came back as if he never did lose. Right. And then talked his way into a professional boxing match with Floyd Mayweather and got him out of retirement for 2 years. And then actually put on a pretty goddamn good performance. Like, I'm not mad at
this
all.
This is the Jimmy Iovine of fucking
MMA. It's inspirational to show. Like, if you do hard work and actually apply yourself to getting an outcome, you can do it. Now, that's why I fucking love it. And when he lost, he wasn't making excuses. I mean, kind of a little bit with like, oh, I get sloppy and tired. Like, you were fucking hammed up. But he handled it like a man. And then he fucking, even though Floyd Mayweather is like a white woman beating piece of shit, he still fucking fist bumped him. And they like kind of did the whole, hey, we came together for combat sports kind of thing. So I was like, cool.
I'm not a fan of when the post-fight dirtbag, like, wins everybody over with a three-minute speech where he shows a little bit of class. I absolutely hate that, you know?
No, he's
like John Jones being like, hey, Daniel Cormier is a good guy and a good dad. It's like, and everyone's just like, oh, John Jones showing some maturity, and he's finally figured it out, and he's a good guy, and you're just like...
Steroids.
Steroids. Stop. You allow a man to have a decade and a half worth of just garbage, shitbag personality and behavior, and then he gives you 3 minutes of respectful, probably orchestrated and scripted speech after the fight is over.
That's
and
part of the fight like, camp. Like,
everyone's like, wow, just what class shown by Floyd Mayweather. It's like, no. The man is an awful human being with very few redeeming qualities. And
well, he's got a lot of money, though.
And yeah, and you know what? We were all complicit because we all paid for the damn thing.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, the cool thing was after it was over last night, and they talked to McGregor, in every interview, not once did he mention money. All he wanted to talk about was the fight, what he could have done better, how he thought his performance was like, and you could tell he was genuinely pissed that he lost the fight. Like, he was trying to figure out a way to win.
It is true. If you ever like see
you
interviews
know his
with...
background, right? He was a fucking plumber.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you talk
this
to
has
his,
to
his...
be amazing to him still. Like, fuck.
The interviews with his girlfriend, hilarious. She'd be like, I'll wake up sometimes and he's shadow boxing in the house at 3 a.m. Like, what the fuck is this dude doing? It's like, he loves the sport, and that's why it's hard not to like him, because he's like a good dude from what I see. And then,
He loves success. He's obsessed with the mastery, I think, of whatever he's doing. So let's say he goes to boxing. Will he ever be as good as Floyd Mayweather? No. Is he going to be a better boxer if he boxes again than he was this time around?
Yeah,
he will, because he's obsessive about it. You saw in the post fight, he was breaking down like the little things as if he had already watched film. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he had an unbelievable, even after a fight, he had an unbelievable memory of the specifics of what had already happened in that fight. So he's not a normal human being, right?
Do you think the majority of people, like you in your career, were you analytical in your performance after? You're like, I need to watch the tape to see what happened.
I am the worst example of all of that stuff, because if I won, I was like, cool, I feel good about this for a day, but I know it doesn't really mean much. And then if I lost, I was like, I never want to encounter that horrible feeling and embarrassment again. So I'm not going to go back and watch the tape. I don't recommend that for other fighters. Maybe that's why I'm not as good as I could have been or something. But I can't handle watching myself win or lose, even for like a improvement self-evaluation. I'm like, no, coach, tell me what I should have done differently. Cornermen, tell me what I should have done differently. I can't stand watching my own fights.
Interesting.
Connor probably is a huge student of his own game.
That's what it seemed like when he was talking afterwards. That he's the type of guy that would probably go home at 4 a.m. and just watch the fucking fight.
Well, I always liked it because I'm a huge fucking fan of his, and I follow his shit. But like when he fought, I think it was Madison Square Garden or whatever. He was watching the Romero fight, and that knee that caught Weidman or whatever knocked him out backstage warming up for his fight, and he sees the knee, and then he's sitting there looking the same posture with that like feint to the left knee, and was going through the same movements that Romero just knocked out Chris Weidman with. I was like, he's warming up for a fucking second title fight, and he's going through a new fucking move right now. I'm like, that is dope.
Yeah, there are guys who do that, right? Matt Hughes, if people remember his career, choked out,
of course,
Ricardo Almeida with a move that they drilled 5 minutes before in the locker room.
Holy
because
shit.
Because they had seen something about the way he was warming up, or they had seen something, and Jeremy Horn, who's my coach as well, was in Matt's corner. He said, try this little front headlock choke if he shoots low or something like that. And that's what Matt ended up choking out a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, a guy who's unbelievable. You know, he's considered one of the better grapplers to ever participate in UFC competition. Choked him unconscious with kind of a wrestler choke because they had practiced it 5 minutes before.
I didn't know that's dope.
So, you know, there's a difference between the guys that are on the undercard, the guys that are at Conor McGregor's level, and a lot of the time the difference is the stuff that happens behind the scenes and the way that they approach and value, I guess, the strategy of the game.
I think when it all comes down to after that fight, and Ross, what do you think about this? It's like people get so emotionally absorbed into like one side or the other. Like, I'm a huge McGregor fan. And I think he's going to win. No. But like the entertainment value from all the behind the scenes, the shit talking up into a pretty good fight that delivered for me as a fan. Like,
yeah.
I got my $100. I got way more than $100 worth of entertainment. I was like, boom, this is fucking rad.
Well worth it.
I don't understand why people are like on these threads and just destroying McGregor or whatever. I'm like, hey, man, he went out there, put on a performance. He fucking took care of his family. He's not going to have to work again if he didn't want to.
A sport that he's never done.
Yeah, and, like, it was great.
Hey, who's the best? I'll fight that motherfucker.
Yeah, he was winning half the fight.
That's he was winning half the fight.
Like, fuck. What more could you ask for?
Probably a third of the fight.
half the fight. When I say five, like I gave him close to five rounds in that thing. I gave him four rounds. You know, including the 10th, like let's say that would have continued. I would have said 6-4 at the end of 10. He would have been down by 2.
I was just amped fucking when Mayweather was just walking forward and slipping and throwing. I was like, who is it? This is like 24-year-old Mayweather, dude. This is crazy.
As much as I can't stand Floyd Mayweather, it was fun to watch him break out of his old conservative safe style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, go for a finish. And look, you know, you alluded to earlier, what about if Floyd had been looking to get the stoppage in the second round? Probably right. Couldn't have done it because Conor was fresh and blah, blah, blah. Well, we'll never know. But what's interesting is I think that Floyd Mayweather for the last 5, 7, 10 fights of his career has been like, you know what? I'm going to put my head movement on display. I'm going to put my footwork on display. And my offense is almost secondary. I'm just going to beat this guy the safest way possible.
They were both great defensively.
The fact that Connor was like engaging enough or a bother enough that Floyd decided in camp and in the fight itself, no. I have to put this guy away. That's a huge favor to the boxing community, whether you like Conor McGregor or not.
Yeah.
He brought out a better version of Floyd than you saw against Manny Pacquiao, than you saw, honestly, maybe the best Floyd we've seen since Oscar De La Hoya fight. So that's a gift to the boxing community, even if you hate the MMA thing.
Right. It put on a good performance of, and you got us, and he brought him out of retirement. You got to see Mayweather fight one last fight.
And he so got the 5-0. Like, he got the 5-0.
Yeah, 15-0. Yeah,
he got 5-0. To me, the biggest takeaway, Matt, was inspiration. To me, like, I'm always looking for people, you know, athletes or musicians. I want to see somebody or watch something that's inspiring. Watching a guy who's never fought in a professional fight before against, you know, arguably the greatest boxer of all time, and do well, and just like, it was just inspiring for me. Where I was like, "Fuck,
it's fun as shit to watch." Yeah, I know. You want to go for the underdog? It's fucking great, man. I love it.
So all the way around, dude. I'm
curious to see the crossover now when McGregor goes back to MMA. The year plus of boxing he's doing, how he's going to apply that to MMA? If he's going to go hands heavy, or if he just. Because there has to be
He's already a very hands-heavy fighter.
True, but I'm saying I wonder if there's more influence over his game now because of that boxing, or if it just goes kind of back to old McGregor and he's got a couple more tools in the toolbox.
I'm not convinced we ever see him fighting in the UFC again.
True, I agree. He alluded to it, but it's like the payday's got to be there, and he's got so much to lose to get like knocked out by a fucking somebody.
Stuff for a while.
Look, Diaz, that's if they go for that Diaz fight, that'll be big money.
I don't really want to see that again. I think it's a terrible fight for him. I think he has a hyper chance of losing. He barely snuck in that fucking win the second time.
Yeah.
And it's like for a paycheck, he got a paycheck. I don't know if he needs it. I think he's more bent on successes that are attributable to like his social status. Like, I have 2 belts. So like whether that's dropping.
Well, he does going, it now.
Right. So does he go back and whip Aldo's ass again? Because that's a fucking fight I want to see again.
Max Holloway holds the belt, right? He beat Holloway. Holloway gave him a good fight, but he beat Holloway on his way up the ladder.
But that was real early on. Holloway's learned a lot since.
Right. Both of them are much better fighters at this point. I'd like to see that fight again.
For sure.
And at lightweight, right? He still holds the 155-pound belt.
Yeah.
I don't like any of those fights for him, right? You got Khabib, you got Tony Ferguson. I don't think that anyone really cares that much from a belt perspective about a Nate Diaz fight. Would he be interested in going up and fighting like George St. Pierre at 170?
See, that's fun. Whoa. Like, I think that's what he does. I think he does a super fight at like a catchweight or like a GSP kind of style thing. I think that's how the UFC gets him in. They put another super fight, give him that $20 million paycheck. He has the ability to be like, I'm the fucking goat in MMA or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't see him, like you said, like Habib at fucking 55. Like, what the fuck is that? Who cares?
You don't
want to
see him against Eddie Alvarez again. You don't want to see him against Tyron Woodley, because that would just be a nightmare of Woodley playing it safe and trying to wrestle, if anything.
Yeah, he just wrestle him and try to elbow him in the fucking, nothing's...
How much bigger did Conor look, by the way, than Floyd?
Huge.
I don't mean to keep giving Floyd feathers in his cap, because he's already got 300 million of those, but Conor looked way, way bigger than Floyd. Floyd stopped him in the 10th, so it's a pretty big deal.
Boom.
Yeah, and it was a really fun night. But Jared, you've been eating a lot recently.
No, I haven't.
He's plusing up. He's trying to get that.
It's the greatest segue ever.
How much I've been 215?
Yeah, maybe 215. I'll weigh myself tomorrow. I'll report.
You know what's funny, Jared? This is gonna do something for the ladies out there. We're near the ending stages of editing the Drinking Bros Live movie that comes out at Thanksgiving, and there's a scene without your shirt on in it. And my wife was like, man, he's surprisingly not that fat. And I was like, no, he's not really that fat. Like,
for his diet, he actually has some muscle structure, and he's got some traps and shoulders on him for never working out. And it's impressive.
Yeah, and I think when people see that scene in the movie, they're going to be like, oh, fuck.
You're going to see a transformation in the next 2 weeks. I got my jet ski. I'm going every other day. It's very taxing.
Are you going jet skiing every other day?
Yeah.
Where do you jet ski?
Listen, this isn't a fucking like Sea-Doo. Like, it's a freestyle stand-up jet ski. Like,
Can I make a request?
Yes.
Because you guys are the masters of like social media videos, and I want like a workout plan jet ski video. Like, I want jet ski
to
be the new Thighmaster.
It's called jet ski.
Yeah. Hey, everybody out there. I've got a new fitness plan for you. It's called jet ski.
Jet ski.
Pops open a beer and chugs it.
All you need to get in shape.
I know who has
a stand up
jet ski. Like,
that's awesome. Listen, it's been my dream since I was like 10 years old to just drive one.
Yeah.
And then the first time I did was with the one that I own. So.
Are you going to try to backflip it?
Oh, hell yeah.
What year is it? Like 1998? Because they don't make them anymore,
so
right?
He lives in 1998. I know it's 2017.
It was built custom for me by the best in the fucking world.
The best stand-up jet ski company in the world.
So not only is it like a super obscure plan for fitness, but it's also an absurd expense.
Yes. How much was it? Like 13 grand?
12.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
12 grand.
He's showing Sean pictures right now.
I bet you paid in cash with just one.
He's never showed me a picture of his children or his family, but boy does he love this jet ski. That's fantastic.
That's
funny.
Other than the Ford Focus and the jet ski, I mean, that's the only thing I've ever spent money on. Other than recording gear and camera stuff.
I am not picking on your choices of how you spend your money at all. I'm saying it's funny. And if you like a jet ski and it adds to the happiness of my friend, go for it, dude. Yes.
Smiles. I can't wait.
I think it's great. The achievement of a childhood dream to like the nth degree, right? Because you didn't just ride one, you got one. You didn't just get one, you got a custom one.
And the first time that I rode it, I was taught by the 5 professionals on the factory team of the company that built it for me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've always wanted, like, since I was 5, I've always wanted to ride a dinosaur. So hopefully my connection with you fine people will make that an actual reality.
Let's do some R&D
living
on that.
Living dinosaur. I'm not talking about like one of those animatronic fake ones.
We would look so good, like on a bike behind each other on a T-Rex.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd be behind you. I'm cool with that. Just, like, riding into the sunset on a T-Rex. That'd be fun. Cool.
I like how you say you're still behind him, because you won't give it up. Like, you won't be a bottom at all, ever. Like, in any scenario, you won't.
It's a little more feminine and like, I'm on the back and he's riding the reins of the T-Rex, but, you know, my dick's on his butt, so I win.
By the way, Jared, do you have something against the fucking Sea-Doo?
Yes. What? Because a Sea-Doo, yeah. A Sea-Doo is like fucking laying on a couch on the water.
Oh, that was, yeah. Like, I'm glad Ross pointed out the fact that you went, it's not a Sea-Doo, just the thick disdain in your voice. Yeah,
because it doesn't take talent to get on a Sea-Doo. Like, you have to actually learn how to ride these things.
Yeah.
And they're fucking dangerous.
I rode a Sea-Doo like maybe 6 months ago, and I fucking love it. I love a goddamn Sea-Doo.
Yeah, yeah, you would.
Yeah, while he's over there backflipping, we're going to be drinking fucking whiskey on a Sea-Doo, Ross. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, yeah, down in the Bahamas, just riding Sea-Doos. Just getting fucked up with, like, weird black rum. And, you know, that's all they have down there is this black rum.
Just, yeah, release the Kraken, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that type of...
I need to do this.
It's an audio show, Jared.
I'm just showing Sean right now, you know, what we're getting into.
You guys remember the remember when Nintendo 64 came out and one of the
Wave
sickest,
Race 64.
Yeah, Wave Race
64.
Gosh, can we go? Can we please go to Sunset Bay with your jet skis and just actually?
Yeah.
Hopefully, there's a real shortcut. You know?
The thing that I'm amused by, Matt, is we're near episode 200, and you still have to remind Jared that it's an audio show. Hey, man. It's an audio show. It's still an audio show.
That was a between me and Sean conversation. So are your way out of it.
And you know what?
Oh my God. What are you fucking 12?
I appreciate
it. This is
you.
A and B conversation, so see your way out of it.
I said R.
See do your way out of it.
Hey, Sean, by the way, an article just popped up. The reason they're saying the reason why that fight was knocked out for everybody was there were so many late buys. Typically, people buy it earlier than the fight, so there was a lot of
impulse buys.
Because
nobody wanted to see all that other bullshit boxing.
Wait. So there were a bunch of people who were like, I'm not watching, yep. I'm not watching. And then at like 10 p.m., they were like, okay, I got to do it because everyone's going to talk about it at work on Monday.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look.
That is true. It's like the guys that hate fighting, but they watched it just to be at like the work. Like, hey, you see the McGregor fight? It's like in their Keurig machine fucking getting their stupid Starbucks coffee.
FOMO is a powerful, powerful motivator
for people. Fear of missing out, man.
You don't want to be the one person standing around the water cooler.
Dude.
Just like, who's like, hey, did you watch the big fight this weekend?
Yeah. I used to take notes on Family Guy episodes. So I just, like, I had my notes. Like when.
Don't admit things like that.
What?
It's just,
that was like the thing. Like,
it's not a good idea.
You regurgitated that episode of Family Guy when you got to school the next day.
I don't like that. That's a bad plan for social acceptance.
Ross, is that what you did? I think Ross did that. He just listened to McGregor's AARs of his own performance and then make his own, you know?
Yeah.
5-4, bro.
All right, Ross. Give us a drinking bro of the week. I got jet skiing to do.
Jesus, man.
Wow.
Cutting it off.
I was two beers in. Like, let's ride with the show.
Yeah.
Let's go fucking
Jared, easy on this, on your stand-up. Your fucking stand-up.
How far is the fucking lake from here?
40 minutes.
That's not bad.
No.
How disappointed are you going to be if the acquisition of this stand-up jet ski does not lead to perfect six-pack abs? Because I know that in your mind you have that as the ultimate outcome.
No, because honestly, if you look at all the professional jet skiers out there, like freestylers, they all have my body shape.
They're swarthy.
So there's hope.
They're powerful, swarthy
individuals. One of the best
individuals
in the world is definitely like 10 pounds heavier than me, same height. So, like, there's hope for me to be able to do this stuff.
Oh, so you just want to do it. You don't care about the fitness aspect.
No, yeah. I want to compete. In 1 year, I want to enter a freestyle competition.
I like it.
Is that real?
I mean, I got
nothing.
I got nothing for
that. Come on.
What do you mean, come
on? How good would you say you are now?
I believe in you.
I mean, I'm on round 3, the third time I ride it today. I got 1 year to train.
That's not enough.
Can you do any tricks, or you just drive?
No, I'm on a 180 now, so I can pop it and then flip it, a 180.
Pop and flip.
Yeah, pop and flip. A
180. I prefer to do that with
and then
buttholes.
Today I'm gonna try and jump the wake.
Okay.
And then maybe do a one footer.
All right. So so let me ask you this: how does one enter a professional?
Honestly, there's so little freestyle jet skiers that I think I would just have to show up and pay the entry fee. So, I mean, if I get last, I still competed at a professional level with real sponsors, factory sponsors.
Yeah. I mean, hey, why shoot for the moon? We can shoot for the hill.
I show up as the Black Rifle Coffee freestyle jet ski rider.
Let's not put that on there.
Well,
okay.
It doesn't matter if I'm last. I'm still on TV.
Jesus Christ, man.
I mean, yes, so I try and throw it back.
Well, Black Rifle Coffee is significantly in last place. Like, really, really
with
last place.
.8 score.
You want to talk about getting humbled in something? Like seeing Jared on that, like on live TV on his fucking Black Rifle stand up jet ski.
Taken third.
That'd be amazing. Look, he's doing his Conor McGregor right now. He's speaking this thing into existence.
If you do that in a year and don't get last place, I'll buy you some gift.
Fuck yeah. That's the bet.
I'll get you something. But
keep in mind, like, I have Luke Rodolone, Mark Gomez, like every icon in the ski world.
I just want you to have a good idea and then execute it and actually perform. All right.
Yeah.
By the end of next summer, I have to enter a competition and take something better than last place.
Yes.
Okay.
Quite easily fixed.
Not like a huge gift, but like
freestyle jet ski competitions.
I'm not all about the gift. I'm about winning this.
Okay.
Very corrupt. So
yeah, I heard the Athletic Commission fucking freestyle jet ski.
It's super corrupt.
Corrupt.
Yeah.
Oh God.
That's really fucking funny. Jesus Christ. So what are you really leaving to go jet ski today? That's a real thing.
He is. He's itching at the bit right now. Yeah. He's like standing up and talking.
I've got two boats meeting me up there so we could do the double wake.
So where do you store it? Where do you store the thing?
He's coordinating other boats. I
know. Yeah, because you need two boats to make big jump.
It makes sense to me, but just the fact that you're already
the coordination behind
it. The third time I do anything, I'm just like, you know what? Maybe I'll buy a life jacket this time. And you're already like, I need two boats.
Boats.
Is there a submersible we can fit like a YouTube camera on? Like, let's make this thing happen.
Where's the coxman or whatever, the guy to fucking in the back of the boat? Jesus.
How do you get it there? Do you have like a tower behind your truck or something?
No, I put it in the van.
You got to shoot for the stars, right? Because the first time I ever wakeboarded, I got up the very first time, went out, was fucking around on it because I've snowboarded and, you know, fucking skated my whole life. And about 30 seconds in, I got bored and I just cut the wake and tried to jump. And I ate so much fucking shit. But it was worth it.
Well,
hold on to the rope. I remember that because I ate about a gallon of water.
Yeah.
I
was like, oh, we're very similar in this. Is like we're analytical in anything we do, and we're not slow figuring shit out.
You both believe you're actually analytical in all the things that you do.
Like, self figuring out for the most audio part. Engineering, self figuring out.
What are you staring at?
You know all this shit that you.
That's my problem with fighting. I overthink it instead of just like swinging my fucking
maybe
hands.
It's not fighting. But,
that is true.
But like I had never ever done a stand up before. I did it for the first time 2 weeks ago in Sacramento, and they were all like, wait, you've never rode these before? I mean, by the third run I went, I was standing up and getting on it. Yeah, or 2 days ago I went, that's the second time I've ever been on it. By the last run of the day, I was able to pop in 180.
There you go. So,
and who do you go with? Do you go with like professional people?
I went with the whole factory team at the Freeform Factory, the Lawler brothers and a bunch of other dudes in Sacramento, and then the last time I went, I just took Jim from Silencer Co.
Okay.
Who's a very good dirt bike rider, and he picked it up super fast too. Like he actually cracked the code of the 180 because he came back. He's like, I figured out what we're doing wrong because we were eating shit. He's like, turn your head first, then go. And once we did that, it worked.
Wow. Like, I will buy you ice cream when you break your collarbone. You know,
same here. And let me. Last question about this, Jared. Is it gas or is it a battery?
No, it's gas.
So you just pour gasoline in it.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I'm curious. I've never met anybody
who
owned a motorized boat. Jet ski. Well, not too. Like, my lawnmower's electric, so, I mean, it could be weirder things.
You have an electric lawnmower?
Yeah, it's Boss. It's Boss.
He said it's Boss.
Yeah, like, I didn't know if he charged cord? A battery
No, it's
or
got
something.
These big fucking ion
no,
batteries.
No, this guy does make an electric one, but I got the gas one.
Yeah, electric's weird. Fuck the environment. What?
Yeah, exactly. What? I'm not worried about my carbon footprint.
I'm going to Mars with Elon Musk in 10 years anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like Bigfoot with my carbon footprint. I don't care. Great.
Just, yeah. I mean, I drive a Tundra that gets like 7 miles to the gallon. It's terrible.
We're not going to be alive for when the environment really goes to shit. Like, we're not going to be alive. And I don't think our kids are either. So I'm not even worried about that.
Nah, North Korea will nuke somebody by then. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comforting.
All right, let's get Jared out of here. I can see him texting over there. He's like, hey guys, I got the hot dogs. Make sure you got the two boats. Not one, but two
boats.
We got two boats.
Let's get to the drinking bro of the week, shall we?
Yeah.
This one goes to Joshua Boom Howard. He submitted for his buddy. Hey guys, this is Josh Howard, CEO of Woodburned Warriors. I'd like to nominate a drinking bro of the week, my stepdad's father, William Boyd. He was an Army Korean veteran and recently lost his battle with brain cancer. He was 89 years old and always had interesting stories every time I visited him. He was an amazing person and a great man. Every example of a man that you could think of, he was. He will be missed, and I know that he would appreciate everything you guys do. Man.
That's very nice.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Cheers. And he says thanks. Cheers. Cheers, Josh.
Cheers to him, brother. Cheers to him.
We appreciate you listening, and sorry about that. But to William Boyd. To William Boyd. Cheers.
Cheers.
And for Jared Taylor, boy, you're standing up. You're getting some exercise today.
Yep.
Is the weather nice there?
I'll send you. Yeah, yes, it is. I'll send you some clips to put on Drinking Bros Instagram.
Yeah, please do. please.
Because, hey, Drinking Bros is on the fucking center pole of the jet ski.
Yeah.
It's got a Drinking Bros logo on it.
It is. So let's you send
pulled out a picture to show Sean. Yes.
Oh, I'm gonna send it to Ross. Oh,
yeah, Lord. Yeah. Send it to me. I'll post it now, and yeah, we'll put that up on Instagram.
Fuck me. All right, dip man. Me in shit and roll me in breadcrumbs, Ross.
Exactly. Well, if you weren't inspired by last night's fight, nothing will inspire you.
100%. And Sean, just since you helped us out in these fight ones and are always welcome, your podcast, Ballers and Brawlers.
Ballers and Brawlers, available. You follow me on everything at Real OC Sports. Follow the links, click, find it, download it. New episode coming out this week talking about the fight and all things coming up. And it's me, Johnny Ritchie of Rockwell Watches, and Darren Williams, former NBA All-Star and 2-time Olympic gold medalist for USA basketball. Wow. He's kind of a big deal.
Can he bring his gold medals in next time? Will we take a picture like with the guitar wall and his gold medals?
I mean, I'll ask him.
That would be awesome.
He's a good guy. He got me some free fight gear, you know? It was awesome.
He did?
Yeah, Ibusu.
What Olympics did he win?
Let's see. It would have been, I think, 2008 and 2012. Or 2008 and 2004. I can't remember.
Fuck.
One of those. Which is the one where we did not win the gold medal. He wasn't part of that.
Gotcha. awesome. Well, hey, Jared, we'll let you get out of here. Send some jet ski footage.
Some Sea-Doo footage.
Yeah, some Sea-Doo footage.
Did Ross just say send some
so offended.
Me and Matt should go to the Bahamas and just video ourselves Sea-Dooing all day long. Dude.
I'd ship my ski if we go on a vacation.
Hashtag Sea-Doo life, bro. You don't know about that.
Yeah, you don't know nothing about that Sea-Doo life.
The couch of the Bahamas, bro.
Yeah, he's saying it now, but when I finally get him out there and he tries it, he's going to be addicted, and he's going to be like, I need one.
No. Who? Me?
Matt.
That's not accurate at all.
Matt's going to be like, this is really fun.
You've known me for over 5 years. I think you would know me better than that.
Matt would never enjoy a stand-up jet ski.
Nah, bro. I'm about that sit life. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to look at titties and drink beer. Fuck, I'm gonna look at titties and drink beer when I'm standing up holding it like a cock in my mouth. No thanks. Hashtag Sea-Doo for life. Yeah, you should just hashtag Sea-Doo on all of Jared's fucking stand-up jet ski things on Instagram.
You shouldn't do any of that.
Every time Jared posts on Instagram with his stand-up, hashtag Sea-Doo at the end of it.
Nope, it's not a Sea-Doo. It's a freeboard factory. It's a stand-up ski.
Every correspondence that I have with you. That'll be a fun little game.
I'm still getting hashtag permed on all my photos. Still.
Every time I text you to ask for a favor, everything is always going to be with a hashtag Sea-Doo.
Damn it. No, don't do that.
Give it up for Jared Sea-Doo Taylor.
I don't endorse Sea-Doo. I think they're shit. Fuck them.
Black Rifle Coffee releasing a Sea-Doo blend very, very soon. Yes. It's going to be fantastic.
We're really looking to, you know, expand on verticals and work our way into the Sea-Doo market.
It's decaf and it's extra frothy, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, that's our TAM, bro. We can work on that. We can expand. I like it. Sea-Doos. Let's do it. I'm going to call up Sea-Doo right now.
No.
Let's get him on the phone. Let's get Sea-Doo on the horn.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us to do anything with Sea-Doo.
Yeah. No, there's a lot. Actually, me and Matt really enjoy him.
We got a tagline. Why stand when you can sit? Sea-Doo life. You know? Yeah. I mean, I got taglines for days, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sure both of you sit down to pee, too.
Yeah, you know, maybe I do. Why be a queer when you can sit down on a Sea-Doo and drink a beer, you know? Fuck, man. We can do this for days.
The man just, he's a machine with the tagline.
All right, Jared, we'll let you hit the lake. Sean, thanks for being on the show. For Matt Best, Jared, hashtag CDU Taylor.
nope, not that.
Don't forget stand to go up. To his Instagram and hashtag CDU in every photo.
Hashtag stand up, hashtag stand up.
What's your Instagram?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
JT Article 15.
Well, that's what it was. Now it's going to be JT CDU Article 15.
JT CDU, dude, please. Oh, that'd be so good. dude, amazing. Thanks for listening. And McGregor and Mayweather, thanks for a great fight last night. I enjoyed it. Good night, everyone.
Good night.